In April, Pastor Paul Pawelski, the director of Memorial Holiness Camp, asked me to speak at the Tuesday morning communion healing service at camp on the morning of July 8th. And of course, I had to say yes. But at the end of June, after a busy couple of months, made more so by the fact that I was filling in for Bishop Lynn, who was on sabbatical, and because VBS had just concluded, I finally got around to thinking about what I'd be preaching about. I was assuming that it would be a communion sermon, so my mind had kind of been there for a couple of months, actually. But that was not what Pastor Paul was thinking. This is what he was thinking. He sent me this email when I asked him what I should be preaching. He said, "I think the healing message is more unique. Why do we ask God for healing? How does God answer? How can we tell that God hears us? Do we decide, or does God get to decide how and when he heals us? Is healing only for physical injuries, or can we pray for anxiety and relationships, etc.? Does seeking healing mean we believe in the prosperity gospel? Can we glorify God while persevering through a condition that he doesn't instantly heal? Will we be healed in the life after death? If we don't know how God will answer, is there any use in praying? Is it our faith that heals us, or God's power and his choice? How should we celebrate his healing power, the health and blessing that he gives us, even when he does not heal us of everything undesirable, of an undesirable condition, etc.?" And then that was like one big long question, okay? And then he said, "Does that give you enough to talk about for about 20 minutes? And I thought to myself, "No problem, Paul. This really dates me, but I thought I'll just turn the record player from 33 RPMs up to 45 RPMs and I'll talk fast." What I actually did was Google scriptures about healing. And I found all sorts of topics. many were from health and wealth preachers who guarantee healing for a $60 gift to the ministry, which is more likely for a gallon of fuel for the executive jet, or from reformed people discounting all the health and wealth people and their teaching. And then I came across a really good one called 10 Key Verses on Healing, and that was from Crossway, and they were just verses, but I was in business. Actually, I was blessed because we're going to look at them in a bit here, because they're anointed and they're full of truth and hope. And this is a message. It's very revised, by the way, because it was a different time 2 months ago when I preached this down at camp. But this is a revised version of that sermon that I preached then. First of all, These verses are filled with truth and hope. But first of all, I want to get into some background here. It goes without saying that the past 3 years have been tough ones for ABC. Not because we have had strife or doctrinal issues or money problems. We've had a touch of each, okay? But because the main thing is we've struggled with grave illness, we've struggled with terminal illness, and with the loss that comes from that. We've watched dear ones like Jewel, who died just a year ago on Tuesday. Can you believe that? We watched Keith and Norm and Ron and Cheryl and others struggle with cancer, and then they were called into eternity. Then in March of this year, Leah Ringler experienced a minor surgery gone horribly wrong, and that precipitated a six-week touch-and-go struggle where she was at death's door. She tells me that she doesn't remember any of the first 6 weeks, at least. And then there's been, after those 6 weeks, another 20 weeks of slow but steady progress. And we've prayed and we've prayed and we've prayed for Leah. We've seen God's hand at work and we've seen miracles. In fact, one of the miracles is the growth of Aaron as he's been faithfully by her side from the very beginning. And he showed us, he's been showing us in a powerful way what in sickness and in health truly means. This picture was from her birthday a month ago when the whole hospital did everything they could to get her a cake. Also, last week when we were at the cabin over our mountain cabin, I was stirring around the fire, and there was a piece of the firewood that had moved about this far away from the main pile of wood, and it was slowly going out. And I thought of how Aaron talked about. I told him how I was so blessed by his resilience, and he said, "You know how when a coal falls away from the fire and it gets cold, but you need to be back in the pile of coals to really burn hot?" He said, "That's what the church has been for me. He's been brought into that pile of coals." So I've been learning something from this. Well, God is at work. Could he have healed Leah immediately? Of course, of course. In fact, he could have prevented it in the first place, but he didn't. Instead, he allowed it for some reason that's beyond our limited thinking, and this we know. His healing is best and much more thorough than anything that we can think of. Now, each of these cases has seemed that God was not hearing our prayers, or at least he wasn't responding, or at least responding the way we wanted. And I'm sure for all of us, there have been other times when we have been amazed at God's healing power. So what's the difference? Why healing for some people and sometimes not for others? Well, it seems that God is teaching us regardless of what the outcome is. And most of all, he's looking for us to look to him. And I want to look at that by looking into his word. And as I said, this is a full service. And I looked at this and I thought, I wanted all of Isaiah 53 read. And I looked at this and I said, can I cut it down? Nope, I can't. Here it is. It's from Mark 9, reading from 14 to 29. Okay, background. Jesus and Peter and John and James, I think, were on the mountain of transfiguration. They've just seen Jesus transformed, and Elijah and Moses were there on the mountaintop. They come down from the mountaintop, and this is what they find. And then they came to the disciples. They saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw them, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he asked them, O faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus said to him, took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. In this wrenching passage, we detect various emotions coming from those who are seeking healing. We even see it from Jesus as he seemingly casts aspersions on the lack of faith of those who are around him. And then comes a cry from an anguished father, I believe, help me in my unbelief. And then Jesus healed his son. And Jesus, what happened here was that Jesus answered an honest prayer of a desperate dad. Now afterward, his disciples asked him, why couldn't we do that? And his reply was, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And they were probably thinking, well, we thought we were doing that. But let me add this. This kind can only be healed by Jesus, because only Jesus can heal. The disciples were trying on their own power, and that never works. Healing comes from God and God alone. Now, I want to look at these 10 scriptures and talk about the various kinds of healing available to the child of God. And we're going to briefly cover each one and make some comments. And then hopefully we'll know more about healing and what God intends for us to learn here this morning. And this is going to be a marathon run through the Bible. So here we go. First, it's from Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals our diseases. God is interested in our healing. But notice this, healing isn't just from disease as much as it's from healing from the disease of sin. The first thing the psalmist mentions here is that God forgives all our iniquity. And then he heals our disease. It's interesting that when Jesus healed, the first thing he would often say was, your sins are forgiven. And then he would say, rise up and be healed. This is what happened in Mark 2, and I don't have the, it's the first few verses of Mark chapter 2, but there was that famous Bible story that every kid loves, because, especially every boy, the idea of tearing through a roof, that's great. These men, his friends, brought him and tore through the roof and lowered him down right in front of Jesus. He was crippled. He couldn't do it himself. And he looked at the man lying on that pallet and said, your sins are forgiven. And they said, we tore the roof off for that? And then he healed the man's body. God is interested in our spiritual affliction, and he cares about that before he deals with our physical affliction. Now, John, third John, verse 2. There's only one chapter in third John. It's a very simple greeting. As the apostle is opening the letter, he says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. The apostle is greeting his readers. He's simply wishing them good health. It's a nice thing to include in a letter. We probably use it in a similar way when we're writing a letter or an email. Dear Jeffrey, I pray this hope, I hope this letter finds you well. And John is doing that here. He's also, once again, concerned about the health of our souls. In truth, he's saying to them, I pray that you may be in good health, even as it goes well with your soul. God wants us well, and he especially wants our souls to be well too. And then we have this in Acts 3, which begins with Peter and John healing a man as they walk into the temple at prayer time. It unfolds as they are confronted by a crippled beggar at the gate of the temple who asks them for just a few coins. But Peter responds with, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Instead of being overjoyed at this healing that had happened right in front of them, the religious leaders were angry at the apostles for healing the man and for teaching about Jesus. Peter and John were actually then brought to trial for this. And it's three chapters long. So you need to read it when you get a chance. Acts 3, 4, and 5 give this whole account. But when Peter and John are brought to trial for this, their response is wonderful. And I'm paraphrasing, but what they say is essentially this. Yes, we hear what you're saying about not preaching anymore about Jesus, but we need to preach about what we hear coming from God. Then in chapter 4, as the people of God are praying to be his witnesses in the midst of these threats from the religious leaders, they pray this. They say this, and now, Lord, they're praying to God, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and guard and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They heard the threats, and they asked for more power, more boldness. They have been flogged, and they've been jailed, and they've been threatened, and still their prayer is for the Lord to grant to his servants to continue to speak his word with all boldness, and as they do their part, they are in confidence asking him, while you stretch out your hand to heal. This prayer of faith resulted in signs and wonders from the people of God, this is what boldness brings. God stretches out his hands to heal through his servants. As we pray with expectancy, the Lord responds. Next is another familiar passage that we often use for healing services here at ABC. Or if I go to a home or a hospital room of a sick person with a vial of oil in my pocket, I walk around with when I go to the hospital, I have oil with me for anointing. And I read this first, James 5, if is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, a person, has great power as it is working. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James says, is anyone among you sick? Then do this. And then he covers it all. He talks about suffering. He talks about cheerfulness. He talks about the healing, healing from sickness. And notice that it's to be done in community. Gathered together as believers. He talks about the leaders of the church gathering together. This is what we're doing here this morning. And that's good because the prayer of a righteous person is very effective and healing happens. Let me point out something that's important here. Healing is in the name of the Lord and not from the oil that's used. Okay? What it comes down to is that the name of the Lord is what heals, and the receiving of the oil reveals our obedience. In the same way that baptism is an outward sign of an inward change, receiving oil is an act of obedience. Next, listen to this beautiful passage from Malachi. One verse. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out like you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. This is a picture of spring on the farm. Okay? It's a sweet verse for me personally. As you know, I've struggled with chronic back pain all those times when I was a kid and I jumped out of trees or off of a roof or jumped my bike over a creek or lifted something that was too heavy because I'm a manly man. Now I'm paying for it. I'm paying for that. But I should add pressure washing roofs too for Wayne back here because he's my fellow chronic back person. I watch my grandkids run and play in the yard. I see Fiona doing cartwheels, and then she bridges backwards, puts her hands. This is as far as I can get, but she goes all the way back, puts her hands flat, and flips her feet up over. It hurts me just to watch. At the same time, as I see their little ones, this verse from Micah gives me hope for the future. When I will experience healing eternally. Now, by the way, my back is the best it's been in years. Okay? But I'm looking forward to when I don't have to worry about tweaking something because I bent over to pick a vitamin off the floor. Okay? So I'm looking for the healing of heaven. I'm looking for the healing of heaven when we will be healed. And we will be dancing around a field like a happy little calf in springtime for the first time. Mature cows do that in the springtime because they're so happy to be free. And I look forward to that. Now, more on that in a bit. Now, listen to the psalmist. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord loves those who trust in him, and he loves those who don't trust in him. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 5 that it rains on the just and the unjust. So it stands to reason that godly people do suffer. Just because we're Christ followers doesn't mean we don't hurt. Just because we're Christ followers doesn't mean that we don't die. But our dying is different. Both godly people and ungodly people suffer, but the righteous are healed. That's the promise. Eventually and ultimately, the promise is here in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Listen to this from the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry from Matthew 5. Jesus, he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, which is 10 cities, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Jesus went along healing every disease and every affliction. Now, when we hear the word disease, we pretty much know what that is. It's anything from a sore throat to pancreatic cancer. But what's an affliction? Well, I believe that sin is what God is in the business of healing, and his promise to us is that he heals all our physical concerns, our spiritual concerns, our aches, our tumors, our sins, and our demons. He will heal every disease and affliction. An affliction is what ails us, physically, spiritually, whatever. And next we have this from Peter in his first letter. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That sounds a little familiar to what Carolyn read earlier. Suffering for a Christ follower is different from suffering in people who do not follow him. A Christ follower's faith in God and God's promises give hope that's not possible for a non-believer. Plain and simple. Now, imagine the hopelessness of someone who faces a terminal illness alone. There's a huge difference, and it should fill our hearts with compassion to share with them the hope that we have within us, which is something else from 1 Peter 3. And it's there for you. Take that note down, 1 Peter 3:15. There's that similar thought in Isaiah 53, which you heard earlier. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. It was upon him. And with his wounds, we are healed. Christ's suffering brought our healing. Once again, it's a spiritual thing. We're having a healing service this morning. We must know that healing is for so much more than physical concerns. Jesus suffered, and his stripes were for our healing of all affliction. Now, finally, this from Revelation, the end of the second to last chapter of Revelation. Hear this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Now, many of you remember how a little less than 10 years ago, Danny Krispinski, a young husband and beloved Ashland University a women's soccer coach, was diagnosed with cancer. A lot of us donated and went to various things to help pay for his treatment. And he fought it valiantly. He even coached up to 2017, and then he finally had to stop. And then he lost his battle, and at only 35, he died in January of 2019. Fast forward to a couple of years ago, when after an early morning breakfast with Jason at the downtown Perk, I decided to take my, and it was really, Jason has to get to work early, okay? And it was like 7 o'clock when it was over or whatever, it was early. And so I hadn't been able to get my walk in. I decided to take my morning walk in town rather than going right home. And my stroll that morning, I left from the Perk and I walked out Main Street and I thought, the cemetery, that's a great walk. And so I walked through and it was a crisp fall day and the autumn leaves were at their peak and it was gorgeous. And even though I was walking among gravestones, I marveled at the beauty of the day, and I'm a history nut, so I found it interesting to read the tombstones as I walked. The Myers and... wow, that's big, and all that, and so I get all the way to the end, and it's about a mile, okay? All the way at the end of the cemetery, I came upon a small, immaculately white stone with Daniel Krispinski's name across the top, and the years of his life etched into it, and his wife's name next to it. And I was reminded again of how young he was when he died. But the short scripture across the bottom from Revelation 21 that's what caught my eye, and it moved my heart. "Behold, I'm making all things new." And I thought of how Maddie was suffering loss like you can't believe. And yet, she still put that there. In faith believing, she put that there, that her husband was a new creation in heaven. And she hung her hat on that promise that God's making here in Revelation. God is in the process of making all things new. And that's the promise that we need to hang on as we pray for healing this morning. As we pray and pray and pray, never forget that God is the one who heals. And he has healing in his wings. And he has our healing in mind. What, no matter what it is we bring, he has our healing in mind. And his desire is to make all things new. And that means, because of that, his healing is going to be perfect. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to have you stay seated. We're going to transition into our time of healing prayer. And I'm sorry that I went long. I was overly windy today. And we have three stations. One of our prayers needed to be somewhere else urgently this morning. And so we have three stations. I will be here. I assume that Lori is going to be here and Heather is going to be back there. And you, if you have something that you want us to